Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, sports fans. It is Sunday, November 2nd, 2014. Got a great show for you today, so make sure you know we're back. And a good morning to you. How is everyone doing? I am your host, Ryan Stern. Welcome to a new episode of Beyond the Bench. As always, brought to you by BacksportsPage.com. Always make sure you check out BacksportsPage.com. Follow them on Twitter at BacksportsPage. Go to Facebook.com/BacksportsPage. Follow me on Twitter at RStern33BSP. You can follow the show on Twitter at Beyond the Bench or go to Facebook.com/BeyondTheBenchBSP. We've got a great show for you today. Got a couple great guests. At 9:20, we will be bringing in David Kenyon of Bleacher Report to break down the college football playoff situation. At 9:45... we will have Nick Capozzi of Razzball Radio to break down Week 9 Fantasy Football Plays of the Week. We will get into our Week 9 NFL picks. But first, we're going to open up with a little quick recap of the World Series. This was one of the better World Series that we've had in quite some time. It was exciting, and whenever you have a seventh game, that always makes everything more exciting because there is nothing more exciting than a Game 7. And Game 7 sure didn't disappoint. And it's been quite some time since we've seen a pitching performance like we saw from Madison Bumgarner. That was a pitching performance of a lifetime. To go 2-0 with a game-winning save in Game 7 is, and in the dominant fashion that he did, coming off 2 days rest. 2 days rest after pitching a complete game in Game 5. And he goes 5 shutout innings to preserve the win for the San Francisco Giants. And as unlikely as it may seem, you have to consider the San Francisco Giants a dynasty. In today's sports, with salary cap, with free agency, if you win over a five-year span 60% of the championships, you're a dynasty. And this is, as I said, this is as unlikely a dynasty as you'd expect. Especially with you, when you're looking at the turnover that the San Francisco Giants have gone through. Tim Lincecum was a non-factor in the entire postseason. the guy who was the absolute face of the franchise for multiple years, was not even a factor in the entire playoffs. You have a guy that everyone knew was a real good pitcher come in and all of a sudden look like Sandy Koufax on the mound. As I was saying, that what he was able to pull off, and you look at the entire course of the postseason, there were two players who tied for the second most amount of strikeouts in the entire postseason, and it was James Shields and Wade Davis. Both of them had 20 strikeouts over the entire course of the postseason. Madison Bumgarner had 45. He had more than what the two second-place strikeout pitchers had. More than the two of them combined. I was thinking that, and we all knew that the famous quote, all hands on deck with a game seven. And it was just amazing because I was expecting to have him go three innings. And to see him go a full five and preserve that win was unbelievable. We have a caller. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from? Yes, caller from the 269 area code.
Hey, this is David Kenyon.
Hey, David. Welcome to Be on the Bench. How's everything going?
Good. How are you?
Good. So we were just wrapping up the World Series, but we will make our transition into college football. And there was, I guess, one real big important game yesterday, and it surely didn't disappoint from an excitement point of view with the Auburn-Ole Miss game. What do you think the impact of that game has on Auburn being able to control their destiny into this this new college football playoff?
I think Auburn's in great shape now. Have that loss to Mississippi State out of the way. Win over Ole Miss. And then just going into that final stretch, you end with Alabama. That's going to be a huge game, obviously. But I think Auburn is in great shape. The problem is that defense. If Ole Miss's offense is about to put 40-some on you without two red zone turnovers, that's got to be an issue. But Auburn's offense is just so insanely good once they get that ground game going.
Which team that was not in the top four this week do you think has the best chance of controlling their own destiny to make the top four?
I think the two teams I keep thinking about would be Oregon and Michigan State. Oregon's got that one loss out of the way, and it just feels like they're going to keep winning. And then Michigan State, big game next week, but after that, it's not a tough road for them.
When looking at a team like Notre Dame, and Notre Dame has they either have a tough game or it seems like a very easy game. I know they do have three games left against teams that were ranked as of this week. They have Arizona State, they have USC, and they have Louisville left on the schedule. Barring any, I guess, major upsets with teams that are ahead of them currently, do you think that if Notre Dame wins out, there is a shot that they get into the playoff?
I think if they win out, they do, yeah. I don't think there's going to be much of a contest, honestly, at the end. Yeah, there's going to – even if there's not a lot of upsets that happen, Notre Dame's just going to keep winning. And the losses that have to happen from the ranked versus ranked games, Notre Dame probably slides up at least to number five, and then you just think one upset and they're in.
What are we to make of a team like Alabama? Alabama, they didn't look like the same Alabama team the first couple games of the season, and then it really turned around with that blowout of Texas A&M. Do you think Alabama needs help to get into the playoff, or do you think just winning out, and especially with if they were to beat Auburn, they have a direct path into the playoff?
I think if they win out and that involves beating Auburn and Mississippi State too, I believe, I don't see how they would not make the playoff in that case.
How do you think staying with Alabama? It's obviously a different sort of team that we're used to seeing from Alabama. We're used to seeing a real heavy ground and pound team, and I know that they can still come at you with a ground and pound, but they seem to have a little bit more of an electric offense now, and their defense has been strong at times, but it has been beatable at times.
Yeah, that offense is definitely experiencing a new dynamic with the running ability of Blake Sims. It gives that whole new dimension. Throw in like a read option or a speed option or anything like that, because they never had that with pocket passers and McElroy and McCarron. And like you said, the defense has been great but beatable. But this offense, when it's at its best, it's got to be one of the best in the nation, because the ground game, as you had said, it used to be their bread and butter, and that's how they'd win. They got Lacey and Ingram and Richardson and all those great backs, and even Yeldon last year, and then Henry Mixon at the end. You thought it was going to be that same thing, but Amari Cooper is unguardable. He's just unguardable.
Yeah.
So having
how
Sims...
Do you... Yeah, continue, sorry.
Having Sims go to Cooper with so much success, he's already set career highs and school records, and we're in week 10.
Yeah. How do you see the top four coming out this week? How do you see that lining up?
I think this week Ole Miss will obviously fall out, and I think Oregon just by default would slide in. I think you got to give a real good look at TCU, but I think they're right on the outside edge sitting in right now.
Do you think that Florida State has a chance to slide ahead of Mississippi State, or do you think that since both teams didn't look all that impressive in their victories, I know Florida State looked really impressive in the second half, but do you think Florida State has, the opportunity to slide ahead of Mississippi State into number one?
I didn't get a chance to watch Mississippi State. I was watching the Ole Miss Auburn and working that game. So I couldn't tell you exactly how Mississippi State played and if that would affect them that much. But my gut feeling would be no, they both struggled. They both came back and won. And I think Mississippi State just holds that edge so slightly right now, but I think they'll keep it.
And which, as we're looking forward, what are you expecting the playoff to, I guess, grow in the future? Do you see it growing to eight teams, I guess, maybe as soon as either next year or the year after?
I think with this year, you're gonna see that the eight team would be a viable scenario, because there is no elite team. Like last year, Florida State beat everyone by 14 or more until the national championship, and they just destroyed people. Their bench players were in the third quarter, and they were just far and away the best team. This year, you don't have that. Last year's Florida State team doesn't fall behind 21 points, even if it's on the road on a Thursday night game. But this year, you're going to see a bunch of teams with one or two losses. You're going to see a lot of those teams who beat each other. So it's going to be, well, they beat them, but they lost to them. And so it's a whole bunch of transitive property games. And so then it'll just be this easier way to say, hey, you know what? Since there's so much, this would be a great year or a great time to think about going to 8 games. I think they'll stick with 4 teams for a couple years for sure. You gotta see how it rolls for a while, because you can't just make a decision after 1 year. It'd be like doing all these polls and stuff, the college football playoff poll after week one. It just doesn't make sense. But I think in the future, yeah, there's definitely room to grow. And I think 8 teams would probably be the best. Because then if you start going down to 16, then we're talking the 2-loss teams, 3-loss teams of right now
right.
that are going to be able to slide in. And that's a lot different than an 11-1 team.
Why don't you let our listeners know where they can find your work and where they can follow you on social media?
All right. I am David Kenyon. I write for Bleacher Report. You can just go to the Bleacher Report page and search me, or you can just Google search David Kenyon Bleacher Report, take you right to my page. You can follow me on Twitter, Kenyon19_BR. Give me a follow. I'll try to give you a follow back as soon as I can. And you
All right.
can connect with me on Facebook or LinkedIn.
Great, David. Hope to have you on, I guess, as we get closer to bowl season.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Thanks. Have a good one. That was David Kenyon of Bleacher Report. Once again, you can follow him on Twitter at Kenyon, K-E-N-Y-O-N, 19_BR. Does a great job writing up college football for Bleacher Report. So definitely make sure you give him a follow. With last night's and yesterday's college football action, TCU really has a good shot, I think, to be the team. I know he said that of the teams that weren't in the top four this past week, and those four were Mississippi State, Florida State, Auburn, Ole Miss. And, of course, Auburn beat Ole Miss last night. But they wanted to give that game away. David had said that he thought Oregon and Michigan State were two teams that had the best direct paths into the playoff from teams that weren't in the top four. I think TCU has a real shot. And I know that they didn't look as strong yesterday, but West Virginia is a lot better than anyone realizes. And the way that they came back and had the late field goal to win the game, I was awfully impressed by their resilience. And we all know that they can put up points against the lesser teams. Look at what they did last week, 82 points. That's just unfathomable for most teams. I think that they've got a real good shot if they went out to be one of the outside teams to sneak into the top four. Of course, Oregon had a very impressive win last night with their trouncing of Stanford. And that game may hurt Notre Dame a little bit. Because I know that the strength of schedule does play a little bit into the rankings. And Notre Dame, I know it was a very rainy and tough game to put up a lot of points. But it was a real close game, and Notre Dame had to come back in the final minute to win that game against Stanford. And at the time, that seemed like a very big win for Notre Dame. But now with this trouncing that Marcus Mariota showed that he deserves to be in the Heisman race with what he did last night. Uh, But yeah, that loss to that Stanford loss may do a number to Notre Dame, because that will affect Notre Dame's strength of schedule. And now we are going to transition into our Week 9 NFL picks. Remember, we will be having Nick Capozzi of Razzball Radio calling in about 20 minutes or so. So make sure, if you have any lineup questions, definitely make sure you give us a call, 760-283-0846. 760-283-0846. Or you can send a message to go to facebook.com/beyondthebench, BSP, or tweet it to @beyondthebench. Week 9. We're going to open up with, let's break down the Thursday night game a little bit. I had picked the Saints to beat the Panthers. If you're a listener of the show, you know that I've been down on the Panthers since the draft. I thought that they were going to be one of the playoff teams that took a real step backwards, and they're starting to really show their lack of offensive playmakers. Because when Cam Newton is off, there isn't a lot that can be done. And boy, was he off on Thursday night. He was overthrowing everybody. He had underthrows. He was thrown behind. And if it weren't for a decent rushing game, that's a horrible fantasy day for Cam Newton. That was not a very good performance. And for the New Orleans Saints to look good on the road, that takes a special dump in the tank for a team. Because, for one, the Saints' defense looked real good. And give a lot of credit to Rob Ryan. I know that we like to discredit him as a coordinator in the NFL. But he had a specific game plan in mind to affect Cam Newton's play, and it worked. They put a lot of pressure on from the beginning, and it's obvious that Cam Newton isn't at 100%. Yeah, and so I mean, the Saints are now 4-4 and in first place. I don't see any other team in the division that's going to make any sort of run at the New Orleans Saints. If the Panthers wanted to show that they deserved to be mentioned in the NFC South race, they had to put up a better performance on Thursday night, and they didn't. They blew that. So I think the Saints just, they run from here. Mark Ingram is turning it all of a sudden. He's looking like the running back that he did at Alabama. The running back that he was at Alabama. So, next week they have a big game, and it's at home, and we all know that the Saints play much better at home, but they're going to have the 49ers coming in. So that's definitely going to be a big one for the Saints next week to show that they're ready to take a stranglehold of that division. Let's move on to today's games. We got the Jets heading into Kansas City to take on the Chiefs. Michael Vick making his first start for the Jets. The Chiefs' defense has been playing much better as of late. It took them a while to recover from the losses of Mike DeVito and Derek Johnson real early in the season. Alex Smith, again, Alex Smith doesn't have he doesn't have the weapons to be a great quarterback, but he doesn't have the skills to be a great quarterback, but he's a very good quarterback. He takes care of the ball. He doesn't turn it over that much. And for a team that is going in the Jets that needs to force turnovers in order to win, I think it's going to be a tough one for the Jets to force those turnovers. So I like the Chiefs at home to come away with a big victory. And very quietly, the Chiefs, if they win this game, move to 5-3. And a lot of people, including myself, thought that the Chiefs were going to take a step back, that they weren't as good, and they're not as good as they were last year. I don't think they were even as good as they were last year. I think that was as overachieving a team as there ever had been in the NFL. But they have a true home field advantage. Arrowhead is as tough a place to play in the entire NFL. It's up there with Seattle. It's up there with Pittsburgh. It's up there with Oakland. And I know you all... We don't credit the Oakland Raiders as a good team, because they're not. But when the Oakland Raiders are good, the Black Hole is a real tough place to play. Those are really good, rowdy, loud fans. But if there is any team that has a home field advantage, and the Saints are another one, the Chiefs are definitely... should be in contention for one of the best home field advantages in the entire NFL. We're going to move over. Now we have Washington going up to Minnesota to take on the Minnesota Vikings. You have to be impressed with what Washington did on Monday night against the Cowboys. The defensive performance that they put up, and the defensive performance may have changed the landscape for the entire Cowboys season, because Tony Romo isn't playing today. For those of you who haven't heard the news, Tony Romo is out today. Brandon Weeden will start for the Dallas Cowboys. But Washington was able to put pressure on Tony Romo the entire night. And the Cowboy offensive line, which was their biggest strength of the entire season, one of the reasons that they've been, that they rode to that 6-1 opening start, they were confused by the pressure schemes that Washington brought at them. And I know that now there's going to be film, and the Vikings are going to be able to understand what Washington may bring. But I don't think the Vikings have the offensive weapons to take advantage of knowing what Washington's going to bring. The Vikings' offensive line, although it's one of the more underrated offensive lines in the game, They're a pretty good offensive line. I don't think they are. The only reason I feel Teddy Bridgewater can have a big game is if the running game is established early. And the Redskins are one of the better teams in the NFL. of stopping the run. So if Washington is able to stop the run early in the game, they're going to be able to control the tempo of the rest of the game with their defense. And I like Washington to go on the road and come away with a victory at Minnesota. Next, we have the 5-2 Philadelphia Eagles heading down south to take on the 4-4 Houston Texans. Eagles coming off a real tough loss. It's a game that they should have won. It's a game that they outplayed Arizona. But the big plays killed them, as what tends to happen with the Eagles' defense. In the second half, you had big plays by Larry Fitzgerald, and then very late in the game, John Brown torched the secondary. And Arizona came away with a win that they probably didn't deserve. And you look at the Texans, and we all knew the Texans weren't as bad as they showed last year. They just got decimated with injury after injury after injury, and then with poor play by Matt Schaub, everything just snowballed on top of each other. But Houston's 4-4 now. And the main reason why they're 4-4 is because of the resurgence of Arian Foster. And I think Arian Foster can have a big game today. I just don't think that the Houston Texans passing game is going to be able to do enough to take advantage of that weakened secondary. Because I think the Eagles are going to be able to take advantage of the subject play of the Houston Texans secondary. And I think the Eagles go on the road and they come away with a victory in Houston. Next, we have the San Diego Chargers traveling east to take on the Miami Dolphins. And there are plenty of reasons why the Chargers should win this game. Phillip Rivers is playing at an MVP level. They're coming off two losses. They know that they've got to get back on track if they want to make some noise. And if they lose this week, you can probably count them out for the division. They know that they need this game this week. But I like the Dolphins this week. And I'll tell you why. One, the Chargers do not play well when they come east. Especially for the 1 o'clock games. And it's crazy how much that has an effect on the West Coast teams playing the 1 o'clock games. So I think Ryan Tannehill is playing a lot better than people understand. That defense is getting after the quarterback. And Lamar Miller is all of a sudden a must start for your fantasy team. So I like the Dolphins in this game to come away with a surprise victory and stay in the race for the AFC East crown, because you look at the Patriots. The Patriots are 6-2. The Dolphins are 4-3. The Patriots have to play the Broncos, so if they lose, then the Patriots go to 6-3. The Dolphins, when they're at 5-3, and they're even in the loss column with the Patriots. So I think part of that is into play. I like the Dolphins today against the Chargers. Then we have the 1-7 Jacksonville Jaguars heading into Cincy to take on the Bengals. Bengals will be without Gio Bernard today, but they will get A.J. Green back. So one of my sleeper quarterback plays this week is going to be Andy Dalton. And I love Jeremy Hill today. I took a chance because I played in some tournaments this week on FanDuel that started on Thursday. And I took a chance thinking that there was a good shot that Gio Bernard would either be out or wouldn't have the role that we're used to Gio Bernard having. So I took a chance, and for the Thursday plays, and I know FanDuel now has this thing where it's like DraftKings where they don't show you the opponent's lineup until their player starts. So that's a new change with them. So I don't know how many of the Thursday tournaments that I'm in are going to start Jeremy Hill, because there may have been people who didn't want to take that chance that Gio Bernard did play and got a decent amount of the work. I took that chance, and I paired him up with Mark Ingram, and that was obviously a smart play because Mark Ingram got me 25 points. So it was able, I was able to then load up at other positions. I have Peyton Manning, I have Emmanuel Sanders, Brandon LaFell, and Keenan Allen. So I did get a little hurt because in some of my tournaments I did start Greg Olsen. So I thought that Carolina was going to be able to do something. And I didn't start Kelvin Benjamin in a lot of places because I thought that Keenan Lewis was going to be able to do a good job on Kelvin Benjamin. So I know there were a lot of fantasy experts that liked both Olsen and Benjamin, and there were a bunch. I was listening to SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio earlier this week, and a lot of them were playing both Olsen and Benjamin in their lineups this week. I took a chance on Olsen. I'm glad I didn't take a chance on Olsen and Benjamin. But back to the Jaguars-Bengals game that sort of got on a little bit of a tangent. But we have Jacksonville, who they've been playing better. And their defense has been playing a lot better, too. They're not as much of a walkover as they were earlier in the season. And while they're on a lot of occasions, they're putting up decent offensive numbers, Blake Bortles is just turning the ball over too much, which is why it's one reason why I really like the Bengals as a daily play this week. And even though the Bengals defense hasn't been, it's funny because these two defenses have been trending in opposite directions. The Jaguars defense has been much better as of late, and the Bengals, who were the best defensive team in the game over the first couple weeks, have really struggled on that side of the ball over the past couple weeks. But I think they're able to get back on track today, and I like the Bengals at home to take down the Jaguars. We then have the 1-6 Tampa Bay Buccaneers heading into Cleveland to take on the surprising 4-3 Cleveland Browns. And I really think that we're waiting for the next time that Cleveland loses, for them to pull the plug on Brian Hoyer and go to Johnny Manziel. Because even though they are 4-3 and they are definitely in the playoff picture, I think that they may understand that they're not going to go far in the playoffs with a quarterback like Brian Hoyer. And they may even be looking for a bad half Because if they see Brian Hoyer have a bad first half today, we may see Johnny Manziel in the second half. Because there's definitely a lot more excitement. There's different things that defenses have to game plan for when a guy like that is under center. I think the Browns' running game gets back on track today. I know that they haven't been as good since they lost Alex Mack. But I think that the Buccaneers' defense has just been one of the more atrocious parts of the entire NFL this season. They've been bad. So I think that and we don't know what's going to happen with Terrence West, because Terrence West gets healthy scratched far too often for someone that you can count on and for your fantasy team. But if all three of them are active, I may not like the play for any of them, because there may not be a lot of upside. You may be able to count on a 10 to 12 point game for Ben Tate. I don't know if you can count on more than that. And I do like Andrew Hawkins this week. He's been getting targeted a lot, and especially in PPRs, because you never know what's going to happen with the Cleveland passing game, especially as it gets into the red zone. That's when they really rely on their running game. But in PPR formats, I definitely do like the play of Andrew Hawkins this week for the Cleveland Browns. And I do think the Browns come away with a victory. I think this is a better game for Mike Evans than it is for Vincent Jackson. Vincent Jackson will probably see a lot of Joe Hayden today. And the Browns have been giving up points to wide receiver twos. So I do think this is a good game for Mike Evans. But I do like the Browns to come away with the victory in this one. Again, if you want to give us a call, 760-283-0846, 760-283-0846. We will be having Nick Capozzi of Razzball Radio calling in just a few minutes to break down fantasy landscape this week. But until he does, let's try and squeeze in another game or two. We now have the Arizona Cardinals at 6-1. Heading into Jerry's World to take on the 6-2 Brandon Whedon-led Dallas Cowboys. Yes, the Brandon Whedon-led Dallas Cowboys. You got to go with the Cardinals in this one, because and I know that Whedon looked okay for the two series that he played while Tony Romo was out last week. But can you count on Brandon Whedon to beat a pretty good defense? And I know the Cardinals have been giving up a lot of yards in the air, but they've been giving up a lot of yards in the air to better quarterbacks than Brandon Whedon. I think this may hurt Dez Bryant a little bit, but I do think that it helps the value of Jason Witten. And I know that Jason Witten only got targeted one time while Whedon was under center, but he looked for Witten in the most important time, and that was to get that touchdown. So I do like Jason Witten this week, but I think this may be one of those weeks where the Cowboys' defense looks like the Cowboys' defense we expected it to look like in the beginning of the season. I think the Cardinals are as balanced a team as there is in the NFL when it comes to offensive game plan. Andre Ellington is a stud. When the kid gets fed the ball, he produces. I think Michael Floyd gets back on track this week. I think he has a nice game. Because after last week, you may see a lot of coverages slide back to Larry Fitzgerald, because Fitzgerald was very good. And you're going to see coverages also slide towards John Brown, because you're going to have someone playing over the top, because the kid can fly. And he can beat a lot of one-on-one coverages. I like the Cardinals to go into Dallas and come away with a big victory. And just like last week, when the Cardinals were playing the Eagles, I said that for either team, it would be a real good win, but it wouldn't be a terrible loss. Just like last week. So I didn't think that was a terrible loss. I thought it was a tough loss for the Eagles. I didn't think it was a terrible loss. But this is another one of those games, and the Cardinals are coming off of playing in that situation last week. So I think that they're more prepared for a game like that. So give me the Cardinals in a big victory over the Cowboys today. But right now we're going to switch our attention to fantasy. I want to welcome in Razzball Radio's very own Nick Capozzi. How you doing this morning, Nick?
What's up, Ryan? How are you?
Doing good. For those of you who don't follow Nick on Twitter, make sure you follow him at Nick Capozzi. He did a nationwide tour of fantasy football drafts this preseason. Why don't you let our listeners know about how that tour went?
Yeah, absolutely. It was crazy. So we started the show this year in May. We got picked up by the Fantasy Sports Network. You can catch us on Optimum in New York. And we're also about to get on another major carrier, so it's an exciting time. And I thought, you know, what's the craziest thing that I can do to promote the show this year? So what I did was I hosted 32 fantasy football drafts in 32 straight days in all 32 NFL cities. I drove the whole thing. I did 14,000 miles in 32 days. barely survived, but it was phenomenal. It was a lot of fun.
I was able to meet up with Nick when he came up into the New Jersey area. Got to spend some time, got to know him. And for those of you who are listening, this is a real good follow on Twitter, and he knows his stuff about fantasy football. So let's dive into what's going on in the world of football. And what I wanted to get into was the landscape of the running backs. And at the beginning of the season...
Why would you want to do that, Ryan? Why would you want to put yourself through that kind of headache this week?
At the beginning of the season, who would have thought that Jerick McKinnon, Lamar Miller, and Mark Ingram, and Jeremy Hill would be top 15 plays all in the same week?
Well, you know what? I'll be honest with you. I really like McKinnon coming into the season as the backup. I mean, people were talking about Asiata. This is before everything happened with AP. And so I was really excited to the last two, three, 4 weeks when he's given the opportunity and he's produced. He hasn't put up touchdowns. I think that could change today. But between 20s, he's been great. And, you know, considering the landscape of running backs right now, if you can just get yardage – At this point, you're coming out ahead.
Now, I know that the big daily play today is going to be Jeremy Hill, because he's so cheap on all these other sites, because none of the daily sites really knew that he was going to be starting, because there was still the chance that Gio Bernard was going to be around. So his number was awfully cheap. I took a chance in some tournaments that started on Thursday. So before we knew the actual status of Gio Bernard, I took a chance and I played Jeremy Hill. But for tournaments that start today, you know that there's going to be a lot of players using Jeremy Hill. Does that make you shy away from using him? Or if he has a big game, do you want to make sure that other people don't gain those points on you?
You know what? I think the thing is, it looks like a real tasty matchup because it's against Jacksonville. And I think there's actually a good opportunity. Okay, here's the thing. I actually had, believe it or not, you're going to laugh at me. This is one of my, let's say, blown calls of the year. I had Jacksonville as a sleeper defense this year. I really like their front seven. There's a lot of talent there. You know, they're easy to pass on. Now, if A.J. Green's in there, which he's not going to be, I think they could pass all
day.
He is.
A.J. Green will play today. It was just announced maybe about a half hour ago.
Okay, well, I'm on the West Coast, so I'm just rolling out of bed and I'm catching up. So good catch there, Ryan. Listen, I think Cincinnati's actually going to pass a lot. And do I think there's an opportunity for him to get a couple touchdowns? Absolutely. But there's other value plays where I'd kind of rather spend my dollars. I think just because it's buzzy right now about Jeremy Hill, I think a lot of people are going to go and try and get that value. But, you know, you mentioned his price. Well, Jerick McKinnon, who's already established, and we've seen what he can do, he's $4,700 on DraftKings. I'm also starting this week Marshawn Lynch with Oakland heading up to Seattle because I think that, you know, the way Seattle's played, and, you know, they kind of gutted out a win last week. I think there's a chance that Lynch has a really big game. And he's only $6,100 compared to, you know, to the big running backs who are, you know, going for $9,900 or $9,000. And then, you know, I'm kind of hedging my bets this week. What I've done in a ton of leagues, and, you know, this is for the big tournaments, it's not a great strategy. But if you're just trying to win some cash, you know, I've tied Gronkowski and Julius Thomas because, you know, Gronk's only $7,600. Julius Thomas is $5,600. I think that's going to be a shootout in New England. And I think, you know, it's not crazy that you could get you know, maybe four touchdowns combined out of those two guys. And when you look at that, you know, that could be a really big day. The place I haven't found value this week or I'm not as crazy with is the wide receivers. I mean, I'm starting Odell Beckham in a few leagues. Steve Smith against Pittsburgh's beat-up secondary. Terrence Williams against Arizona because I think Arizona's going to go in and actually clobber Dallas today. I think it's going to be a big win. Arizona looks fantastic right now, which was surprising considering, you know, the injuries and suspensions they've been dealing with. But Terrence Williams has a knack for scoring touchdowns. He's only $4,900. So those are some of the guys I'm spending on this week. Another guy I really like this week is, you know, coming off the bye week, St. Louis heading up to San Francisco. You know, Kaepernick's only $7,000 when, you look at Andrew Luck, who's $10,000, or Peyton and Brady, who are, you know, over $8,400. And I think that, you know, Kaepernick always has two or three really big fantasy games per year. And I think this week could be one. You know, St. Louis is beat up. They keep losing players. They traded for Mark Barron from Tampa Bay, but he's not going to know the system yet. So it's an interesting week. I think actually a couple places you can really, you know, get some advantages is on the defense because the defenses are usually so, you know, they're all, you know, vaguely around the same price. And, you know, I was saying I'm not maybe spending on Jeremy Hill this week, but I like Cincinnati's defense against Jackson. It's like $3,300. I think they could have a couple turnovers, and that could be a good play.
It's funny because some of these guys that you're rattling off, I did do a couple lineups on DraftKings, and I have Colin Kaepernick in a couple of them. I have Terrence Williams in a couple of them. And you're right, absolutely right about the wide receivers. I think of all the positions that people are having trouble filling in with the bye week blues this week, it's definitely the wide receivers. Two guys that I like are Andrew Hawkins and DeAndre Hopkins. We're looking at the Philadelphia secondary, who hasn't been able to stop anybody outside of the Giants. I think this could be a very big week for DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, DeAndre Hopkins is a guy, you know, when I was doing this tour, I participated in a boatload of drafts, and there was two wide receivers that I got on almost every single team. One was Michael Floyd, who has not delivered, and the other was DeAndre Hopkins. And I think he's one of the, you know, top rising wide receivers. If he had any other quarterback other than Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, I think we'd be talking about, you know, DeAndre Hopkins in the same breath as some of the, you know, top 15 wide receivers in football. I really think he has that kind of upside. And you're right. I do like that matchup a lot today. Another guy too. And again, I apologize if I'm behind the curve here just because it's a bit early, but, if Doug Martin doesn't go, well, he's out. But if Charles Sims does go, I like him a lot against Cleveland. And as well, too, Tim Wright's another guy. If you are looking to save some ballers at tight end, I know Tim Wright's been kind of up and down. It's been a roller coaster, you know, lousy game, good game, lousy game, good game. But I think that's just him getting used to the, you know, the playbook and the system and the opportunity. But he's another guy that could, if they are all over Gronk and they can kind of blanket him and snuff him out a little bit, I think Wright's the guy who, on the flip side, could have a big day.
Two things with what you just said. I wanted to find out how you thought Tampa Bay would handle the distribution between Bobby Rainey and Charles Sims, because we don't know a whole lot about Charles Sims. But with the Denver-New England game, it looks like they're calling for like 30 to 50 mile an hour winds today. So do you think that may change any sort of strategy with how you are approaching that game?
You know what? Slightly. I mean, I'll tell you, I wish Ronnie Hillman was healthy, because
yeah.
New England's rushing defense has been a cluster bomb this year. I think they're 28th against the run. So Hillman was a guy I really liked potentially, if he was healthy. But again, you know, the guys that I'm spending on in that game are the tight ends. And, you know, when you are talking passing games, Gronk maybe, but those are guys who – you know, are the red zone targets and guys that's really going to put up their points. So points will, no matter what the weather conditions, points will be scored in that game. So that's why I'm still really, really leaning to it's actually a good week for tight ends. I mean, Jason Morrow too at Kansas City with Vic in there, I think is really interesting. It's a good week for tight ends. I'm actually flexing a ton of tight ends in daily leagues this week.
I did decide to actually use Jason Witten because Tony Romo, I don't know if you heard, Tony Romo is out today. It is going to be Brandon Whedon. So I think that definitely increases the value for Jason Witten as someone, a backup quarterback, may look for the tight end as a safety blanket. And on DraftKings, he was only at 3,200, which is cheaper than the defense that I used, because I do think that Seattle gets back on track against an Oakland team today.
Yeah, listen, Witten's always interesting. I mean, I'll tell you, I got Arizona plus 4.5 early this week, of course, in an office league. But if you are in Vegas, you know, or listing abroad, you know, it's seeing what the points are for Arizona. Because if Witten's in there, I think Arizona really is going to kill him. I mean, they've been blitzing like crazy this year, and they've been really well. You know, the guy I like, and he's a guy I picked up in a bunch of dynasty leagues, and I'm hearing about Witten, but keep an eye on Gavin Escobar just because he's so athletic. And not that I'm going to assume he has an impact today, but you're right. If Witten's in there where they play a bunch of two tight end sets, you know, Escobar is just so athletic. And we saw the big game he had a couple weeks ago. But he's a guy that, you know, let's say maybe 2 years from now, could be a top 3-4 tight end. I really believe he has that kind of upside. He's just a physical freak.
All right, so I'm actually going to come at you with one of my lineup questions, because this is how bad that I am hurting because of bye weeks and injuries. Now, mind you, I'm in a 16-team half-point PPR, and I drafted
–
Monty Ball, No. Sean Moreno, and Ray Rice. I'm still 2 and in first place.
Wow.
Because, Gio Bernard, who carried me earlier on, I have Randall Cobb,
yeah.
Emmanuel Sanders, Jay Cutler, who hasn't been a real good real-life quarterback, but he's still putting up okay fantasy points.
Yep.
And smart pick.
That's a great draft in a 16-team league. Holy cow.
Yeah, and I had actually also drafted Robert Griffin III. He fell to the 10th round in a 16-team. And with Cutler, I didn't need him, but I felt like it was too good a value to pass up. And now it's the perfect week for Jay Cutler to be on a bye, because – it's real tough to come across quarterbacks in a league like that. So I did hold on to Robert Griffin III, and luckily it seems that he'll be playing. But the running backs that I have to choose from today, I need two of these. Carlos Hyde, Roy Hillou Jr., and Matt Asiata.
Okay, it's you know what? That's actually not terrible, because I could see a situation where San Francisco gets out in early lead. Hyde could get a lot of opportunity. Asiata is just not startable under any circumstance right now. And Hillou, I mean, yeah, listen, I like Hillou. Hillou is actually a useful player. I'll try and pull up the stats here real quick. But that's not a terrible start. I mean, it's not as bad as it sounds, to be honest with you. I mean, what's Hillou done? He's not rushing for a ton. Yeah, okay.
Big passing games, two-bit receiving games.
Yeah, and I think that's the upside there. And the good thing, too, is that the big receiving games were, not that long ago. I mean, he's had some pretty good receiving games. And I think that is the advantage there. And Alfred Morris he's looked pretty good. I think the line, has had some issues, and obviously with the quarterback rotation. But, yeah, if you go back, you take the last 2 weeks out, he was averaging, about 55 receiving yards a game. The only disappointing thing with Hillou is he's only got one touchdown on the year, and it wasn't in a pass game. So, the half-point PPR system, it's not terrible. I've seen worse. I'll tell you, I might even rather start Roy Hillou over Ben Tate this week. But as crazy as that sounds, that's how down I am on Ben Tate right now.
When I was breaking down the Cleveland game, I said I couldn't count on any of the Cleveland running backs, because I think if all three are dressed, all three of them have the potential to score. And you can't count on one of them, and the running game just hasn't been the same since Alex Mack went out.
And what a difference. I mean, his replacement is just getting ragdolled in there. He's just getting beat up. I wish Corral would be given the opportunity. I mean, they spend so much money on Ben Tate. I think that's why you're seeing him there. But there definitely is a correlation between Matt going out and the struggles Cleveland's had after their really hot start. And even, if you look back, Terrence West and Isaiah Corral were doing such a great job, in the first few games of the season. But if I was desperate, I mean, if you threw out those names and Crowell was one of the names you threw in there, I think he's startable only because, well, not startable, but I think he's the guy there that once we got 3-4 weeks left in the season, he's going to emerge as the top running back. He's so dynamic and an undrafted guy, undrafted rookie at Alabama State. So I like his upside a lot. But Cleveland has become, a disaster backfield, a backfield they don't want to touch. Same with St. Louis. And, Mark Ingram is the guy I really like going into the season, believe it or not. And no one believes that, but if you go back and watch some of the old shows, I was kind of big on Ingram because he was healthy. A lot of burst there. I thought with Sproles leaving that PT would get a lot of the catches. And now with, PT and Keir Robinson banged up, Mark Ingram has looked absolutely phenomenal. So, it's funny sometimes where you can, go out and get running backs.
Nick, why don't you let our listeners know where they can follow you on social media and where they can find your work?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm on Twitter at Nick Capozzi, NickCapozzi, or ZZI if you're in Canada. And we're at RazzballRadio.com. And also, if you've got Optimum in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, you can catch us at channel 147. We're on 2 p.m. and 5:30 p.m. Eastern, Monday to Friday. But if you ever have questions, hit me up on Twitter. I get back to everybody. So again, it's Nick Capozzi, NickCapozzi.
And I know from personal experience he does. I'll actually be up in Canada this coming weekend. I'll be checking out the Hockey Hall of Fame and checking out my Rangers taking on the Toronto Maple Leafs on Saturday. So it'll be my first time, and I'm a huge hockey fan. It'll be my first time up in Toronto to check out all that, so I'm awfully excited about that.
All right, real quick, let me give you a quick primer. I actually live in Arizona now, but it's funny you say that. I was in Toronto 2 weeks ago, and I went to the Hockey Hall of Fame. And you know what? I've actually got a picture of me hugging the Stanley Cup. So it was really exciting. Sorry that you're a Rangers fan. I really apologize for that, Ryan. But the Hall of Fame is awesome. It really is a top-notch facility. And I don't know if you've been to Toronto before, but it's a lot of fun. Great city, unbelievable food. Get on Yelp and check out some of the foodie options there. And last thing, go get yourself a poutine, or they call it some other English, a poutine.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of the national Canadian dish, French fries, cheese curds.
Cheese and gravy. Yeah, they're called disco fries here in Jersey.
Yeah, but that's not the same thing. You got to get a real poutine up in Canada, man. Make sure
yeah,
you do
I know.
That.
You got it, Nick. Hope to have you on before the end of the season. And thanks again for a couple minutes this morning.
Anytime you want, Ryan.
All right, Nick. Have a good one.
Okay, buddy. Take care.
That is the great Nick Kaposia. And as you can tell just by the interview, dude knows his stuff. He's, as he even said, he's a good follow on Twitter. You ask him questions, he's getting back to you. I was able to meet up with him on his tour when he did the 32 drafts in 32 cities. And he's as nice a guy as you're ever going to meet. He wants to reach out to everybody, so definitely make sure you give Nick Kaposi a follow on Twitter, at Nick Kaposi, NickCapozzi, and check out his work at RazzBallRadio.com. Let's finish up with our breakdown of Week 9. We've got the Rams heading into San Francisco to take on the 49ers. I'm big on Colin Kaepernick this week. It's one name that Nick said. Although this is one team that you can like the quarterback, but you may not like to focus on any of the pass-catching positions just because they spread it around so much. They have four wide receivers that they go to on a consistent basis, with Crabtree, Bolden, Johnson, and Lloyd. With all this time off, and then they are coming off a bye. Maybe we're looking at Vernon Davis coming in healthy. He's awfully cheap on DraftKings as well. He's only at 3,700. So he's a very nice play there if you're looking for a cheap option. But with the Rams, they didn't have a whole lot of weapons that were producing on a consistent basis. One that they did have was Brian Quick. Brian Quick's now out for the year. I think the 49ers take this one in easy fashion against the Rams. I've got the 0-7 Raiders heading up to CenturyLink to take on the 4-3 Seattle Seahawks. That's right, the 4-3 Seattle Seahawks. And I've been saying it for, I didn't say it last week, but the previous two, I said this is a week where Seattle gets back on track defensively, and they haven't. This is the week Seattle gets back on track defensively. I'm playing them in almost every spot that I can in daily this week. And Marshawn Lynch, another one, I think has a huge week. For the Seahawks, I can see at least two touchdowns and 100 yards out of Marshawn Lynch this week. So I definitely like that play. And then the big game of the week, Denver coming up to New England to take on the Patriots. We got Peyton Manning. We got Tom Brady, two quarterbacks that are playing at the – for quarterbacks as old as they are, over the past couple weeks, these are probably the top two quarterbacks in the entire NFL, the way that they've been playing. So it's been, we had daylight savings to turn back the clock. It's been really a turn back the clock for Peyton Manning and Tom Brady over the past couple weeks. I think these teams are very even. When you look, the passing game, I think, is very even. I think if you're looking at running game, if Ronnie Hillman were healthy, the Broncos would have an edge. But since he's not, I think that's about even. you're looking at offensive line play, where the Patriots, who had struggled early, have been playing better. I think the Broncos do have a slight edge with their offensive line play. Secondary is very similar. Defensive line is very similar. The one spot that I think that there is a huge difference in play is the linebackers. And it's going to be the one reason, especially in a game where we're looking at wind, I'm looking at linebacker play. And the Broncos are clearly more talented at the linebacker position than the New England Patriots right now. They're going to take away the run. I like Shane Vereen in PPR formats only because they're going to be the Patriots are going to be in passing situations throughout the entire game. And with wind conditions that they're looking at, you can very clearly see a lot of dump-off spots to Shane Vereen. So I definitely do like Shane Vereen in PPR formats only, but give me the Broncos to beat the Patriots. The Sunday night game tonight, we got Pittsburgh hosting the Baltimore Ravens. The Steelers are coming off one of the all-time great performances by a quarterback last week. Ben Roethlisberger throwing for 500 yards and it was either five or six touchdowns. I lost count. The Ravens coming off a tough loss to Cincinnati where it looked like they had taken the lead with under a minute to go, but they called Steve Smith for what I thought was an obvious offensive pass interference. It was definitely a push-off in my eyes. I think the Steelers are just in a groove right now. And I don't think Roethlisberger is going to put up the kind of points that he put up last week. But I'm more confident in their offense than I am the Baltimore Ravens. And both defenses, the Ravens are playing better defense than the Steelers right now. But I have more confidence in a Ben Roethlisberger than I do Joe Flacco right now. And Steelers at home on national television don't lose. So give me the Steelers. Monday Night Football. We got the Colts taking on the Giants. We got two former Giants making their return to MetLife Stadium tomorrow with Ahmad Bradshaw and Hakeem Nicks. I think Bradshaw figures more into the gameplay than Hakeem Nicks will, although the Colts may look at this as, we haven't gotten a lot out of Hakeem Nicks this year, but maybe he'll be that extra motivated to have a big game against his former team. So maybe we utilize him and use that motivation to their advantage. I'm hearing a lot of people pick this as a blowout. I don't think this is going to be a blowout. I think, and while early in his stint with the Giants were never good under Tom Coughlin coming off a bye. They've been much better over the past 2 years. And I think they'll be ready for the Colts. I think they'll be able to put up points against the Colts. But Andrew Luck is, he's probably been the best quarterback in the entire NFL this year. That's how good he's been. I'm going to pick the Colts, but the Giants winning would not shock me at all. One of the reasons the Giants have been a little questionable has been the play of their offensive line, and it looks like they may be getting Jeff Schwartz back for this game. The Colts defense had been playing extremely well up until Ben Roethlisberger putting up the points that he did last week. So I think the Giants are going to look to see how Pittsburgh was able to take advantage of that Indianapolis defense. It's tough to pick against Andrew Luck right now. But like I said, I would not be shocked if the Giants come out of this with a big victory. That's going to wrap it up for this week. Want to thank again David Kenyon of Bleacher Report for calling in to talk college football playoff. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Kenyon, K-E-N-Y-O-N, 19_BR for Bleacher Report. And, of course, Nick Capozzi at Nick, N-I-C-K, Capozzi, C-A-P-O-Z-Z-I, of Razzball Radio gave us a great 20 minutes of fantasy football talk this week. Again, follow me on Twitter at rstern33bsp. The show is at Beyond the Bench. Go to facebook.com/beyondthebenchbsp. That BSP is for Back Sports Page. Make sure you check out backsportspage.com for all of our current. We have a feature article on Tekeo Spikes up there right now, making his transition from the NFL into the media. There's a great spot up there if you want to check that out. We will be going to one of the New York Giants charity bowling events in the next coming weeks, so make sure you stay tuned for audio from that. We'll have it up on the website, and we'll try and get you some of the audio right here on the show. So until next week, we're going to have a very abbreviated show for you next week, as I will be up in Toronto checking out the Hockey Hall of Fame. Make sure you follow at Beyond the Bench BSP if you want to see my pictures. Or again, I'll probably post some of them on my personal account at rstern33bsp for pictures from the Hockey Hall of Fame. So until next week, I hope everyone wins in their fantasy football leagues this week. And until then, I hope you all have a nice day.